I'd like to dedicate this evening's Divrei Torah, this evening's shiur, for the great memory of Mr. Walter Berger, Zev Ben Yitzchak, although he was about 60 years older than I was, than I am. I considered him to be a great inspiration to me. He was very helpful to me in my days in the White Shul, and he was helpful to the entire community in the heyday when he was very, very involved in all the activities there. So in the schus of his neshama, we learn our Divrei Torah this evening. And I hope that everybody will enjoy. Is my camera not on, somebody just told me? My camera is on. Okay. So let us begin. This week's parsha, as we know, is the parsha of the Tochacha. We have a double parsha, Behar B'chukosai, and that's really what I wanted to focus on. But it's a little bit negative. We have enough negativity going on around the world, enough negativity in our lives. We don't need to talk about anything more negative. We don't need to speak about the Tochacha when we are living parts of the Tochacha. So let us try to find one of the positive aspects, one of the positive elements of Parshas B'chukosai in the middle of the Tochacha. And it's extremely relevant not only because it's this week's Parsha, but also because I think we live now in a time where people are desperately trying to find, they are trying to solicit whatever merit they can, and they are trying to advocate for whatever it is they can get their hands on to serve as a schus for them. So let us see, what does the Torah say is considered to be some kind of schus for a person who is going through a very difficult and dangerous time, like the times of the Tochacha? So we begin the Tochacha where, as we know, the Torah tells us that we are rebuked, we are reprimanded for all the terrible things that the Jewish community might be involved in, and it's a very painful read, but then there's a glimmer of hope. As we know, in the middle of reading the Tochacha, we stop, not once, but twice. And the Baal Kori then changes once again from the Tochacha kind of reading to then read in the regular way that the Sefer Torah is read every Shabbos. And we say the following pasuk: V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, va'af es brisi Yitzchak, va'af es brisi Avraham es kar, v'ha'aretz es kar. There are many questions to be asked. Number one, why are the avos in the opposite direction, which is a very important question that we are not going to discuss now. But there are many questions that the Mefarshim have about this pasuk. Primarily, what is it doing in the middle of the Tochacha? So it almost seems as if we need a break. Life is so difficult, and we're hearing about all of this tragedy. So let's just take a break in the middle. Little interlude, we'll give a little comic relief, and we'll talk about, chas v'shalom, I don't mean a comic relief when I describe a pasuk in Chumash, but almost to say, like, there's just too much difficulty being described at one time. Let's now just shift our focus, shift our attention for a minute, and think about the avos. Once again, later on in the parsha, we are told, V'zacharti lehem bris rishonim, asher hotzesi osam me'eretz Mitzrayim le'enei hagoyim, liyos lahem le'elohim ani Hashem. And this is a very powerful, a very compelling pasuk. What we learn from this is that even though we may be in the depths of despair, of difficulty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember our zchus avos. And zchus avos is a very potent spirit that we have. It's a very powerful tool that we are able to use. And that is why it finds itself right in the middle of the Tochacha. So zchus avos is something that we think about when we read the Tochacha, but in truth, in essence, it's something we think about every day in our Shemona Esrei. It is the introductory paragraph that we start with. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. And what I'd like to focus on this evening is it true that zchus avos is always the answer? Do we always have zchus avos? And you'll say that that sounds like a heretical question, but the truth is that the Gemara discusses this, and the Medrash talks about it as well. So you look in the Medrash in our Parsha, and the Medrash asks what I would say is a very disheartening question. The Medrash asks the frightening question, Ad emasai zchus avos kayemas? Writes the Medrash. Yes, we have this idea of Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak ve'Elokei Yaakov. I understand Avram Avinu did many wonderful things. He made HaKadosh Baruch Hu very proud. And because of that, he accrued many zchusim. But ask the Medrash, how long can all of these zchusim last? It's been a long time since Avram Avinu passed away. Do you really think that there's still something left in the bank? So yes, I understand the Asara Nisyonos he got millions of schusim for. And can you imagine the Akedah, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the bank Kaviyachal for Avraham Avinu for that? I understand. But how long can that last? Do you know how many Averos, do you know how many mistakes the Jews have made since that time? And ask the Gemara, how long do you really believe that this pasuk of schus avos is going to remain a merit for the Jewish people? Answers the Gemara, you're right. This is a major problem. And in truth, it does not last forever. And the Medrash says as follows, it lasted until Yehoahaz. Now who was Yehoahaz? For those of us who know a little bit about Nach, a little bit about Navi, you didn't have to get too far into Tanakh to know this. Melachim Beis, we learn about Yehoahaz, who was known to be a pretty terrible Melech Yisrael. He was a pretty terrible king who tried to lead the Jewish people astray. Once again, this is mentioned in Divrei Hayamim, Perek Lamed Vav. The assumption is that Yehoahaz was somebody who tried to push the Jewish people away from traditional practice. And therefore, Yehoahaz goes down in history as one of the evil kings of the Jewish people who, maybe in his day, because so many things went wrong, we have a right to assume that Tamas Chus Avos, maybe as a result of all that went wrong in his generation, we used up all of our Chus Avos, which means we should have been destroyed in the generation of Yehoahaz, and the only reason we were not is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu used up the last remaining, the last remnant of the Chus Avos that we had. That's why we were saved. Therefore, after that was over, it's over. And there's nothing more to rely upon. That's the first opinion in the Medrash. We learn in another Medrash a little bit about Yehoahaz and what it is that he said. And the Medrash tells us a frightening statement that Yehoahaz used to go around proclaiming, declaring to his generation, and that was, Emein gedim, ein tiyashim. Emein tiyashim, ein son. Emein son, ein roeh. I'll translate in a minute what this means, but the final punchline was, Emein roeh, ein olam. What he said was, if there are no kid goats, there are not going to be any adults. If there's no adults, if there's no sheep, if there's no herd, then there's going to be no shepherd. If there's no shepherd, that means there's no world. And therefore, he used this as an argument to say that emein chachamim, ein neviim. He said, if there are no people who are learning, if there are no people who are studying, and therefore there are no tamidei chachamim, there will never be neviim. If there are no neviim, then you don't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's no Navi, there's no God. And that was the argument he used to try to convince people that they should just stop thinking about godliness. It's just not something that should be on their minds. So Yehoahaz was quite a Rasha. And therefore, the Gemara says, perhaps Yehoahaz is the one that used up this Chus Avos, a frightening statement. Well, you have to ask yourself, if he was such a terrible person, and he led so many people astray, why is it that Yehoahaz was not punished? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu kill him? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu use up our Chus Avos? Why didn't he just punish him? And the answer is because, says the Medrash, Amru Malachei HaSharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His father was such a great tzaddik, his father was such a great man, how could we kill the son? As awful as he is, at least he has a Chus Avos of his father. And that's a very powerful statement as well. Even if you believe that the Chus Avos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov may have been used up, he still had Chus Avos of his own, which just think about that and think about what it means for a parent. For every parent or grandparent or great-grandparent who's on the line with us this evening, think about how powerful that statement is. You do something, you think nobody notices, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers, and it's Chus Avos. It doesn't mean only the Schus Avos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It means sometimes the Schus Avos that we generate, that we create. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying attention to those as well. And the Ribono Shel Olam takes an interest and actually keeps a cheshbon of all of that that will one day stand in the place for a merit of our own children, perhaps our own grandchildren. It's a powerful comment. It's a powerful statement. But that's what the Gemara says. And that's what we're told here about Yehoahaz. Then the Gemara says, maybe we should take another approach. Maybe he is not the one who used up the Chus Avos. Maybe none other than Eliyahu Hanavi is the one who used up the Chus Avos. Eliyahu Hanavi? What do you mean? He's the greatest tzaddik. How could Eliyahu Hanavi have used up the Chus Avos? And the answer is, the Medrash explains, Eliyahu HaNavi, when he was at Har HaKarmel, and there was a lot of problems with the Jewish community at the time, as we know, many were serving Avodah Zarah, and he had a lot of confusion in the generation as a result, Eliyahu HaNavi stood up and he said, we need to show, we need to do something that will unequivocally challenge everybody, that will make everyone believe that you are either going to choose that you are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or you're going to choose that you will serve Avodah Zarah. Well, Eliyahu HaNavi, as a result of that, went out and killed the Kohane HaBaal, and then Eliyahu HaNavi went ahead and he built a Bama, he built a Mizbeach, which generally is not allowed. Eliyahu HaNavi then asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do an unusual miracle, which was, Shetered Eish Min HaShamayim, he asked that fire should come down from heaven and show an open miracle to everyone that Eliyahu HaNavi was correct. As a result of all of this, says the Gemara, that takes a tremendous amount of schusim. To make miracles like that happen is not a simple thing. And therefore, says the Gemara, it is very possible that Eliyahu HaNavi is the reason why we have used up our schus avos. Because when he was there on Har HaKarmel, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perform all of these miracles, that was not able to be done on his own merit. He needed to use the schus avos to make that happen. Finally, the Gemara says, perhaps Chizkiyah HaMelech is the one that used up the schus avos. Whatever it is, the Medrash here seems to say that there is a concept of schus avos, but at the same time there's an idea that possibly or potentially tamos schus avos. At some point we are able to use up our schusim, and that is such a frightening comment. Therefore, says the Gemara, says the Medrash further, Imra isa schus avos shemata, if you think that your schus avos has been used up, and you're living at a time where you see so much devastation, and you're living at a time where your whole life is collapsing, and you say, how could it be my Bubbas and my Zetas and Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and everybody who came since that time should stand for me? How is it possible that this is all going on? And you honestly believe that maybe Tamas Chus Avos, writes the Medrash, what is the answer? Leich hidavek begemilos chasadim. The very simple answer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never overlook the great merit of somebody who invests heavily in Gemilas Chasadim. And therefore, if you believe that all of your Schus Avos has been used up, you have nothing to be afraid of. Just be involved seriously in Gemilas Chasadim, and that will stand for you. Be it as it may, the Medrash in the end writes that although this is a discussion, Rab Acha is of the opinion, Le'olam Zuchus Avos Kayemes. The Medrash is of the opinion in the end, ultimately, that this is an everlasting, it's an eternal merit that the Jewish people have. Avram Avinu was so far beyond our understanding. Yitzchak, Yaakov, what they were able to accomplish, what they did, is something that will be forever. And it is nothing that can ever be used up, it is nothing that can ever be taken away. And that is the bottom line of this Medrash in our Parsha, when it talks about this idea of Zacharti Lahem Bris Yaakov, and we should remember the Zchus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That is what the Gemara teaches also in Masechta Shabbos. And the basic understanding is that we believe that Zchus Avos is something that perhaps is of everlasting and eternal nature. The Tur has a very intriguing comment. The Tur writes in our Achayim, Hilchos Tefillah, we start off our Shmona Esrei every day, V'zocher Chaz De Avos, Umevi Goel Ivnei Vinehem. Which means, on a simple level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the great kindness of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore, he brings us a Ke'ula. So now ask the Tur, what does it mean? Lema'an Shemo Be'ahava. I thought we just said he brings us a Ke'ula because we had Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So what does it mean, Lema'an Shemo Be'ahava? Explains the Tur as follows. This is because there is a discrepancy in the Medrash here, whether we are still entitled to claim Schus Avos. Have we perhaps used it all up, or maybe not? And therefore, says the Tur, the way out of that is that in our daily Shemona Esrei, we claim both. And how do we claim both? We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Zelcher Chazdei Avos. The Ribbono Shel Olam will forever remember the great kindness of our forefathers, of Avram, of Yitzchak, and of Yaakov. And that is something that we hope will be the reason, the catalyst for our geula. But what if you believe that maybe it's been used up? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have nothing to worry about. Because either way, umevi gula livnei b'neihem l'man shemo be'ahava. even if there is no longer any Schus Avos left, even if we've used up everything in the bank, in the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to bring a Geula. He is compelled to do so because of his own name, because he needs to make sure that there is not going to be a Chilul Hashem. What a Chilul Hashem it is if the Jews are going to be in exile forever, if they are never going to get out of this terrible situation. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it is not only because of the Schus Avos. Perhaps if the Schus Avos is used up, you have nothing to be afraid of, because ultimately it will be brought Leman Shemo Be'ahava, which again is a powerful statement that should give us hope. Although we say in the parasha of Zacharti Esprisi Yaakov, Afasprisi Yitzchak, Afasprisi Avraham, and we remind ourselves of this every single day when we say in our davening Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, don't ever forget that even if all of that is used up, don't ever forget that it's always going to be Leman Shemo Be'ahava, and therefore we have no concern at all. There's another medrash in Sefer Bamidbar, which writes an obvious question. And that is, well, what if somebody is a convert? What if someone is a ger or a gioris? What do they do then? Happens to be, it's a fascinating discussion in Shulchan Aruch, in the name of the Avudram and other Rishonim. What does a ger actually say in his Shmona Esrei? Is a ger supposed to say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov? Is a ger supposed to say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu? Does that really make sense? This is not the God of your fathers. Your fathers did not believe in this God. So this is a major discussion, and the Rambam talks about it as well in one of his letters to Avadya Hager. Not for now, it's for another time, a separate halachic discussion, but it's a major topic of conversation in Shulchan Aruch. What are the Gerim supposed to say in many different types of their tefillah, where it would seem that they get stuck? And in benching, we have the same thing. And in many other places, when you think about it, we mention about our avos, about Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, and the truth is, it's not so clear what a convert, what a ger is supposed to do. Be it as it may, the Medrash writes, what happens? We believe in Schus Avos. We believe that because of Schus Avos, we have a great opportunity to have many great things in our lives. And that is true. I am not worthy of what I have. I believe that what I have is because I have a great Schus Avos, because of my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather and my grandmother and everybody else who came before me. Such great people who did such great things. I have a lot of merit in my life as a result of all of them. But says the Medrash, what do you do if you are a ger? Zeha ger she'en lo Schus Avos. What does that person do? What hope are you going to give them? And says the Medrash so beautifully, the ger sits down every day and says, how am I ever going to make it through life? I am not the greatest tzaddik. I am not the greatest tzaddikes. I don't have merit on my own. How am I going to make it? And the answer is, b'schutz atzmo yochal ba'olam hazeh uva'olam haba. And on that, the pasuk says in Tehillim, yigia kapecha ki sochel ashrecha v'tov lach. You are so beloved because you work hard for all that you have. Yigia kapecha. It's because of all of the investment that you've put in your own life. That is what you are going to eat. And says the Medrash, chaviva hi hamalacha yoser mischus avos. I want to tell you something, writes the Medrash. You are not a second-class citizen. You are more beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are more special because you have created a life on your own. Because you have created a identity with which you have the opportunity to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of Schus Avos. That, says the Medrash, is even greater than all the Schus Avos in the world. And on that we say, Yigia kapecha ki sochel, ashrecha v'tov lach, ashrecha ba'olam hazeh, v'tov lach la'olam haba. He or she who spends their time creating their own Schus, making their own kind of personality, of connection with God, that is something that is more beloved than anything else. I'm reminded of the amazing story of the Beis Halevi, and you'll forgive me, I've said it many times in our shul, but the Beis Halevi was once visited by one of the Askanim, by one of the great people who took care of the community in Vilna. I don't know exactly how long it took those days to get from Vilna to Brisk, but the Beis Halevi sees this visitor, he brings him into his home, and they engage in conversation. And he's talking to him about all the different politics, all the different issues that are going on in Vilna at the time. And the Beis Halevi goes through it all with him, and he says, you know, I appreciate your visit, but he says, next time I have an idea. Next time when an issue comes up, there's no reason to travel out to Brisk to discuss the issues with me. He says, I'd like you to go to the homeless people and I'd like you to discuss all the issues with them. Stay in Vilna. Just talk to the homeless people of Vilna." And this man is so confused. "I came to talk to the Beis Halevi about Tzarchei Tzibur. I came to discuss with him the most serious of issues that our community is facing. How is it possible that he just told me that I should talk to the homeless individuals in Vilna who have no perspective of community, who have no understanding of the complexity and all of the intricacies that go into all of the issues of our community? How is it possible that the Beis Halevi really believes they are going to be able to solve my problem?" And the Beis Halevi says, "I'll tell you exactly how. And I will tell you exactly who I am referring to. It may not be who you think." You see, we say in Hallel, "Beis Aaron Baruch Hu Es Hashem, Beis Halevi Baruch Hu Es Hashem." He says there are some who come to positions in their lives because of the nature of the families they are born into. A Kohen, whether he deserves it or not, is going to be considered a Kohen, has the right to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, is held up on a pedestal even if he's done nothing in his life to deserve it. A Levi is able to be considered a Levi. He has special privileges. Whether he's done anything in his life to deserve it, he is still from the Beis HaLevi. And that gives him the ability to be a card-carrying member of this very special Shevet. Said the Beis HaLevi, there are some people, at the end of that paragraph where we're told, Yirei Hashem Baruch Hu Es Hashem. There is no such thing as somebody who comes from a base Yirei Hashem. Just because one's father or mother was a Yirei Shamayim does not guarantee that they have Yirei Shamayim. Yirei Shamayim is not something that is hereditary. Yirei Shamayim, the fear and relationship with God, is something that every individual has the opportunity and the obligation to develop over time. And therefore he writes that when I have an issue that comes up next time, don't come to me. Go to those people, quote unquote, who are homeless. He didn't mean homeless in the literal sense. He meant homeless, those people who don't come from those homes of Beis Aaron, of Beis HaLevi. Go to those people who have worked hard on their own to create their own legacy of Yirei Hashem, Baruch Hu Es Hashem. Because those are the greatest. Like the Medrash says, Yigia kapecha ki sochel ashrecha v'tov lach. There's no one greater in the world than the person who doesn't rely on their yichus, who doesn't rely solely on zchus avos. It's all nice, but what's greater than all of that is the person who creates their own yichus and who makes it something significant, who makes it something special. Rav Meir Primishlana, who was one of the great Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, once commented, we say every day in Az Yashir, we say it in Psukah de Zimra, Ze keli va'anveyu, elokei avi va'arom menhu. So Rav Meir Primishlana said that this is really addressing two divergent groups of people. He said there are some people who spend their entire lives going over all the great things that their Zetas did, and I remember the memories of a Pesach Seder by my grandparents, and they were Europeans, and this is the way they did it, and they never used to carry any Erev on a Shabbos, and they used to eat the very bitter maror, and there were no shortcuts, and everything was done kedasu kedin, and they spend a whole life talking about their grandparents this, and their parents that, and their uncles this, and their great uncles that, and that's wonderful. Va'anveu, it's great, it's a beautiful thing. But he says, the great person is the one who's able to say, Zekeli. The one who's able to say, this is my God. Not spend a whole life talking about Elokei Avi. Elokei Avi is wonderful. But what does the Ribono Shel Olam mean to me? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean to me? Do I actually have a relationship with Him? Or am I just hiding behind the fact that my father and my grandfather and my grandmother all had some kind of meaningful relationship? That's all nice. But it doesn't really help me in the end of the day. Yirei Shamayim is not passed down from generation to generation. It's something an individual needs to work on their own. As wonderful as Zchus Avos is, and we should never downplay the great merit of Zchus Avos. My whole life, I live on Zchus Avos. And I feel it every second, every moment of my life. I don't deserve anything I have. And it's all because of the Zchus Avos. But I'm grateful for the opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave all of us to say, my life is not only Elokei Avi. It's not only about the relationship that my father has made or my mother has made or my grandparents have made. They were all great people. But it's about the opportunity that I'm given myself to have that chance of creating a Zekeli. That God is meaningful to me. That I'm able to create something special in my relationship with Him. and I don't need to only rely upon my own schus avos. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, my father used to tell us so many times as children, and he was such an anav, he is such an anav, he's so humble that he would never say that it was a reference to him. But when I grew older, I understood that this is what he was trying to teach us. I'm still not old, so as I'm growing older, I am learning that this is what he means. The Gemara writes in Sanhedrin, we all have an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. Ve'ata kisvu lachem es hashira azos ve'lamdes b'nei Yisrael. So says the Gemara, what if my father already commissioned the writing of a Sefer Torah, and now my father gives it to me? He doesn't need. Let's say he has two Sefer Torah. Writes the Gemara, no. Afo pi shehinichu lo aviv Sefer Torah mitzvah lo sheyichtov mishalo. Even if my father left me over a Sefer Torah, I have an obligation to write a Sefer Torah of my own. And my father always told us a pshat in that Gemara, that it means, even if one's parents gave them over minhagim and misora and so much of a rich legacy of Torah, which is all so important, we should never, al titash Torah simecha, don't ever let the minhagim go by the wayside, don't ever think that it's not important. But, mitzvah lo sheyichtov mishalo. We all have an individual obligation to whittle out and to create our own Sefer Torah experience throughout the moments of life that we have, performing God's mitzvahs and connecting with Him. It is not good enough to say, my father wrote a Sefer Torah and therefore I'm covered. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of each of us that we are going to whittle out and create our own Sefer Torah. And my father always told us this, and I never connected the dots that he was referring to himself. He has a rich legacy. He lives a life that is steeped in Torah, steeped in Yirat Shamayim. And what he was teaching us was, mitzvah lo sheyichtov mishalo. You have an obligation throughout the experiences of your own life to create your own Sefer Torah experience. Don't ignore, don't neglect the minhagim of your parents and grandparents, but augment it. Build upon it. Make it meaningful to you. Do something that's going to connect you with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and make Him show that that relationship is something real. My grandfather, Reb Melech Schechter, who was also a great Talmud Chacham, used to say at many of our family simchas, the same story, and every time I think about it, it's even more amazing. It's the same story over and over again, but it's a beautiful story. He said that when my father was bar mitzvah, he didn't have any money, and all he was able to afford was a small, he was a rabbi of a shul, rabbis of shuls don't have money, and he said that all he was able to afford was a small kiddush, kichel and herring, after davening. And he said that's what he did for my father's bar mitzvah. There was a conservative rabbi who was in the neighborhood, and he said that he saw a crowd of people coming out of shul, and he asked them what was going on. So they told him, Reb Melech Schechter just made a bar mitzvah for his son Herschel. So he said, oh, I'm friendly with Reb Melech Schechter, I'll go say mazel tov as well, I wasn't aware. So he stops into the shul, and he goes over to my grandfather, this is the local conservative rabbi in the Bronx, and he says, Reb Melech, I want to give you a bracha. I heard you're making a bar mitzvah for your son Herschel. He says, I give you a bracha that it should come the day in your lifetime that your son won't be known as Reb Melech's son, but that you should be known as Reb Herschel's father. And my grandfather told us that it was a very short time after that when he said he was so overwhelmed with pride that nobody remembered him and all of his accomplishments and everything that he did. And he was a very highly accomplished personality, a great Talmud Chacham. But he said everyone went on to know him as Reb Herschel Schechter's father. And he said there was nothing that made him more proud in the world than that. And the bracha that he gave all of us when we became bar mitzvah and when we celebrated family milestones was, he hopes that the day will come when everybody will forget who Reb Melech Schechter was. He said he hopes the day will come when they won't talk about his son, Reb Herschel Schechter. But he said he hopes the day will come when they'll say that he's the grandfather of his grandchildren that he's so proud of. And that was, to me, an incredibly special and meaningful bracha, but that's exactly what the Torah expects of us. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants all of us not just to rely on schus avos, but to understand that even though sometimes the Gemara says, maybe tamas schus avos, it's possible, maybe yes, maybe no, but don't ever forget, we all have that opportunity. Yigia kapecha ki sochel ashrecha v'tovlach. The Medrash writes, the greatest of them all is the person who builds a legacy of their own. And my grandfather told us, this is what the bracha is when we say to our children, Yisimcha Elokim ke Ephraim v'chim Menashe. So many Mefarshim ask, Why Ephraim and Menashe? There were so many other great personalities. One you say Kemoshe v'Aaron, one you say like anybody else, all the other great tzaddikim, tzidkanios over the years, over the generations. My grandfather said because Ephraim and Menashe could have gotten away with it their whole life. They were b'nei hashvatim. They were the children of a great man. And they could have hid behind Yosef HaTzadik their whole life and done nothing to deserve anything in their life. And yet, they rose to the occasion to become shvatim of their own. Ephraim and Menashe, Keruven v'Shimon Yehuli, they worked hard, they invested of their own lives, of their own experiences, and they became like Reuven and Shimon. That's an unbelievable accomplishment for a person who's the son of a great individual, like Yosef HaTzadik, to understand that I have a personal responsibility. My father Yosef was a great man, but I'm not going to allow that to get in my way of creating my own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to make it my own. I'm going to own it. I'm going to write my own Sefer Torah, and that is what makes a parent most proud. That is the bracha that we give our children, Yisimcha Elokim, Ke'efrayim v'Chemenashe. When that day will come, that they will not go around the world saying that they are our children, but when we will be able to be proud that we are so overwhelmed by the accomplishments that they have been able to do on their own, that they have outdone their parents, so to speak, and Keruven v'Shimon Yihyu Li, that is the blessing we give our children, and it's the expectation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has of every individual personality in the community. I wish all of you a wonderful evening, and I'm now going to turn it over to Rabbi Leibowitz.
Very much for a chapter. Yes,